You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Welcome to Generation Reinvention, How Baby Boomers Are Changing the Future, with your host, Brent Green.
Well, welcome back to Generation Reinvention. I have three questions for you today. Do you hope to spend more time with your children and grandchildren? Do you wish to travel more and experience the richness and lessons of immersive vacation destinations? Finally, do you want to take vacations that are not a roulette play, when you're not exactly sure what you're going to get until you get there? Well, even without a show of hands, I'm sure that the reaction among virtually everyone listening is affirmative for all three questions. Almost universally, we hope for more time with our children and grandchildren, more opportunities to travel to inspiring and transformative destinations, and the security of finding no unpleasant surprises on the other end. Today, I'm joined by the Chief Marketing Officer for Inspirato, classified as a luxury vacation club, a new travel services organization that's grown very rapidly in the last 16 months of operation. Within about a year, Inspirato achieved a valuation of around $200 million. Inspirato combines the advantages of luxury home rental with the personalized services and amenities of luxury vacation clubs or resort hotels. Inspirato membership provides access to a portfolio of multi-million dollar vacation homes that are controlled and operated through the company's long-term lease arrangements, along with personalized service and support. When you check out the website, you'll see that the company has leased homes in some of the most compelling travel destinations around the world. My guest is Ira Barr, Chief Marketing Officer for Inspirato. He oversees customer acquisition, customer communications, and channel marketing activities. Prior to joining on Inspirato, he was the CMO at Dish Network, the third largest provider of pay television in the U.S. with more than 14 million subscribers. He also served as the Senior Vice President of Marketing, Alliances, and Communications at Sirius Satellite Radio, where he named the company after the brightest star in the night sky. Ira began his career at BBDO, a global advertising agency, rising to the roles of Senior Vice President and Worldwide Account Director. He worked for FedEx, Pepsi-Cola, and General Electric while at the agency. He earned a bachelor's degree from Columbia University. So I'd like to welcome to the show and thank you for coming, Ira Barr.
Well, thank you so much, Brent. I couldn't have done a better marketing assessment for our company than the one you just gave. So it may be downhill from here.
Well, great. Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about this as we discussed offline. And I think for the benefit of our listeners, perhaps we could begin by having you describe a little bit about the Luxury Destination Club. What is it?
Sure. What we find in travel is that one of the biggest complaints among travelers is that they don't get a consistent experience. And it is aligned with the idea of a restaurant, for example, a Burger King or a McDonald's, where you know that a particular sandwich is a particular sandwich regardless of where you go. And the trouble with travel is that too often there are vagaries and inconsistencies and surprises. And people value their time perhaps more than any other thing in their lives. So that when we talk to people about what they like and what they don't like in vacations, the number one problem that they talk about is when a vacation doesn't unfold in the way they had anticipated, the way they predicted, and the way they'd planned. And that can take the form of the lodging not being precisely what they wanted, or the lodging not being precisely where they expected it to be, or it being where they expected it to be, but the room not quite being what they thought it would be, and the service not being quite what they thought it would be. And this ends up causing tremendous frustration. And once at a destination, it's often difficult to self-remedy the problem that you've gotten into. So one of the things that a destination club like ours, and most particularly ourselves, is that there is a consistency in the quality of experience no matter where you go. You can count on a level of service that we believe is unequaled in any option in tourism and hospitality, and it starts with very personalized attention that we give to every one of our members with respect to very careful and precise planning of how that trip will unfold, what destination they're going to go to, and what their itinerary shall be. And then once at a destination, and whether that be Hawaii or Los Cabos, or whether it be a ski destination, Vail or Telluride, or whether it be in the Caribbean, we have a destination concierge that is on the ground to really hold your hand through every moment of this vacation and in our charge, meet every possible requirement that you might have. We once had a guest who wanted his daughter to practice for a piano recital that she was having coming up in a few weeks following the vacation, and our destination concierge arranged for a piano to be brought to the Inspirato residence on this island. So that is the service layer, and from a destination perspective, from a residence perspective, we carefully attend to every detail of the experience, from the thread count in the sheets to the amenities around the house to the utensils that are in the kitchens, so that you know that when you go to an Inspirato residence, you can expect and will receive only the highest quality things that make a home great.
For those of us who've traveled a bit, and I have, and one of the anxieties out there, particularly going overseas, unless, of course, you stay at a very well-known hotel, three-star, four-star hotel, but you are a little more creative, maybe a boutique kind of arrangement, whatever, there is that uncertainty of not exactly knowing what you're going to get till you get there. That's there kind of hanging over the potential experience. And then, frankly, I have arrived, and at least one time in London, England, my wife and I were going, oh my gosh, what did we just do? This place, it was kind of a tawdry place. It didn't come across that way at all on the internet, nor were the recommendations for it by other customers suggesting the product we eventually found. But it was a, let's put it simply, it was a bummer. So you design the program to make sure we don't have those bummers when we arrive. And
I was going to say that the project is obviously a lot grander than that. But what we find is that what you just described is a catalyst for creating immediate interest in our club. The people come to us and it was exactly what you described. They didn't get what they wanted, or they paid too much and didn't get what they wanted, or a combination of dissatisfying experiences. So they look at what we have to offer as a solution to the problem they just had.
Excellent. And actually, to address what you just mentioned, beyond the description you've provided, kind of give us a sense of these homes. What could you help us envision in our theater of the mind imagination on radio we might expect as we walk into one of the properties under managed by Inspirato?
We have some of the most spectacular residences in the world. The average value of the residences in the Inspirato portfolio is about $4 million. So we have these multi-million dollar spectacular homes in spectacular destinations. And that means that they are not only of grand size, but they have the fit and finish and the amenities I described before. And they're usually in just these wonderfully spectacular locations with incredible views. And most of them, depending on location, will have their own pool and hot tubs and every one of the sort of amazing aspirational amenities that most people seek and covet.
It sounds fantastic. In fact, my wife and I were looking online at three, I think you have three properties in Telluride, which we vastly love. We love Telluride as one of the coolest places in Colorado, frankly. And we noticed that you had three fantastic homes. And we were actually surprised at the value. Like, one home would hold 16 people, okay, comfortably. Maybe we can talk a little bit about what it would cost to become a member of Inspirato, and then what we might pay for that house in Telluride on a given night, assuming it's not high season. Can you kind of walk us through the numbers about how it works?
Well, the key attribute people buy into with Inspirato is the quality and the consistency of our service. Mm-hmm. From an economic perspective, we also believe we save people money. In fact, we're confident of it. So on a nightly basis, what we do is we will look at what it might cost someone to go into the open market and rent a villa of the kind that we've got. And the first thing we say is we don't think the villas are nearly as nice. So you can browse the internet and find, you know, large, sizable villas in nice locations, but you've got that element of uncertainty. And in many cases, we think that the way we personally fit out our villas is way superior to what might exist in villas on the open market. But we do look at what those might rent for on a nightly basis, and a large house in Telluride, for example, during ski season might be, you know, $2,000 a night. Inspirato is not for people who are expecting to spend $199 or $299 a night. This is a very high-end travel choice, so that when you become a member, we often will achieve 50% discounts off of what you would otherwise pay in the open market, but we're dealing with homes that would rent for $2,000 or $2,500 or even more. These could be, the home you're describing might be 10,000 square feet. They're enormous homes, and they can accommodate large groups successfully. As an example, a house, and I'm really referring to a particular house that rents on the open market for $2,000, Inspirato members could rent that house for $1,000, and in our view, that house would be way superior to the equivalent, the rough equivalent that we are comparing it to. The Inspirato proposition is that consumers will pay a membership fee. It's $15,000 to join our club, and then there is an ongoing membership fee of $2,500 a year.
Right, and of course that pays for a lot of the amenities that are eventually delivered in the experience. And again, what was important to me and my wife was that, $1,000 a night is a memorable nightly rate, but not if you take four other couples with you and divide the cost so it can become, or you take a large family and, you know, you consider the option of putting them either in a hotel or resort, or again, as you say, renting a home on the open market. Frankly, I can see the value quite clearly. I noticed in just doing a little research online that, first of all, one of the early achievements, including the incredible evaluation of the company at $200 million after about a year of operation, is that Forbes identified Inspirato as one of America's most promising companies. And I'm curious, what were some of the criteria that led Forbes to that conclusion? Do you have an awareness of kind of what they were thinking of, why they kind of felt that this company is exemplary and should be watched?
Yeah, I think there's really only one primary criterion that Forbes looks at, and that is, will the company be successful economically? Is it a company that's going to grow and prosper and endure over time? And they particularly like looking at smaller companies and prognosticating about whether they're going to have a happy outcome and turn into the next large, successful company in America. And in evaluating those aspects for our company, they came to a conclusion that we're pretty proud of. We're equally proud of a finding that recently came out of our local paper here, Brent, the Denver Post, that deemed us one of the top companies to work for in Colorado. And they gave us particularly high ratings on the extent to which the ideas of our employees are embraced and encouraged by management. So the company's been recognized for a number of different aspects of the way we run our business.
That's incredible. And I really mean that, because I just finished reading Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson, and the whole idea how a company develops a culture that really works from the top to the bottom from the employee perspective is a remarkable achievement when the values, for example, of an Apple computer are widely embraced and there's a entrepreneurial zeal at all levels of the organization. So on the investment side, I know that some of the major investment companies have weighed in by investing in Inspirato, including Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers, or KPCB. And I'm wondering, what is the significance from your viewpoint of the venture capital investments that have been made, other than the money, obviously?
Well, we have a blue chip investor base, and it's obviously very important to us, not just to raise money, as you point out, but to be able to have partners who themselves have a tremendous amount of credibility in partnering with companies that ultimately succeed. So two of our partners, Kleiner Perkins and IVP, both have extensive and significant and impressive track records with respect to picking the winners of tomorrow's future companies and delivering tremendous returns for their investors. So to be given that level of confidence by investors of that caliber is obviously very gratifying to us. And it also means something at the consumer level. So, obviously there are lots of choices people make with respect to the kinds of products and services that they buy. And to know that a company like ours is endorsed and backed by companies of the caliber of the venture capitalists that have backed us is obviously very helpful to consumers in evaluating the Inspirato proposition.
Absolutely. And just kind of to complete this picture, I've hope that we could give our listeners a real sense of the company. And I would encourage our listeners to take a look at the website, inspirato.com, and that'll obviously create more of a visual sense of the quality of this organization and its products. But right now, how many members do you have as an organization after such a short term in existence, actually?
We have more than 1,700.
Wow.
So we've really had a very nice run of growth, and people are reacting very positively to the concept as we present it to them. But most importantly, the people who have already joined are experiencing the club, and the vast majority of our members come from existing members referring new ones. And there is no greater sign of a healthy business proposition than people recommending what they've already bought. There's a thing in marketing which you probably know called Net Promoter Score, and the Net Promoter Score for Inspirato is higher than most companies in America.
Well, that's something to be proud of in addition to everything else we've already discussed. So why don't we take our first break so our sponsors can say hello to our listeners. And when we come back, I'd like to talk with my guest, Ira Barr, who is CMO for Inspirato, about what he does, which is marketing, which I think will be of great value to those of you who are in businesses serving or targeting the boomer market or would like to be. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FMG Radio Network, where our motto is have fun, make money, do good. We provide platforms to individuals who have a cause, message, or information that they would like to share with the world. If you'd like to join the FMG family and have your own radio show, please call us at 1-800-470-4982. That's 1-800-470-4982. We look forward to hearing from you.
As my guest Ira Barr knows, because we've had some conversations, I'm obviously focused on the boomer market, and we're going to talk a little bit about that during this segment. Something I came across, Ira, that was quite interesting to me last year, I considered it a watershed moment. Lindsay Uberoff, who is the daughter of Peter Uberoff, who became famous for managing the Olympic Games and so forth, has a company. It's called Preferred Hotel Group. It actually is one marketing organization for my alma mater, which I used to be at the Broadmoor, but they handle a very elite and respected group of resorts worldwide. And she summed up in her recent comments to the international luxury travel market, and this is a quote from Lindsay, Preferred Hotel Group believes that the travel industry is on the verge of a true golden age. The opportunities to serve the boomers are vast. We are going to seek out the boomers. We are going to serve them well and often, and we are going to share in the growth and prosperity that they will generate. This is a turning point. So let me begin this segment of our discussion by kind of getting your sense of the relationship to what Lindsay just said and how it might apply to Inspirato. I know that you are not necessarily focused exclusively on a specific demographic segment or a generation, but I'd just like to get your thoughts about what she said and how it might relate to your thinking there.
Well, it's obvious based on the nature of our club and the kind of pricing that we described, that this is a product for people who are affluent. And there's little doubt, and it's off-stated, that the boomers are sort of exaggerated with respect to their presence in the affluent demographics of America. And that's largely because it takes time, in general, to develop affluence, accumulate wealth, and baby boomers, and particularly people just 45-plus, obviously are a key part of the target for Inspirato, largely because they are well-aligned with affluence. So if your question is, are we interested in baby boomers, the answer is absolutely yes, and the reason is that disproportionately, boomers have the money to afford our product.
Sure, and that obviously makes sense. Maybe we can back up just a moment, because there is a relationship here that I kind of wanted to connect the dots on, and then we can continue our discussion about your market and marketing approaches. And that is, Inspirato is related in a sense to Exclusive Resorts, which was kind of considered one of the true beginning products, if you will, serving this affluent traveler market that was started by the Handler brothers, who also happened to be leading Inspirato. And I wondered if you could kind of describe a little bit about that relationship and then how it's evolved to where we are today.
Yeah, Brent and Brad Handler are widely regarded as being the pioneers of the destination club industry. And the first generation models for the destination club were very different than Inspirato. And what they did, and the company started, I think, in 2002, was that they went around and literally purchased these incredible properties all around the world. And a membership to Exclusive Resorts is something that then and now still costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. It literally can cost $250,000 to join Exclusive Resorts, because it's a model that's based in purchasing those properties. And the way you would pitch that to people is, look, you can buy one second home for some amount of money, or you can use what would have been a down payment on that second home to join this club, and this club will give you access to all of these destinations around the world. Very, very similar to the description that you and I have been talking about of Inspirato. What happened with Exclusive Resorts over time, particularly after 08 and 09 when the real estate market suffered, was that the model became way less viable from a purchase perspective. And the way that Inspirato puts its portfolio together is that we lease the properties. So we're able to get into the same properties as the older models would have gotten into from a purchase perspective on a lease basis for really single-digit percentages of the purchase price, which is why our membership cost is so much lower than those first-generation models. So Brent and Brad, for unrelated reasons, left Exclusive Resorts, I think, in 2008 or 2009, and a few years later, had the idea for this second generation of Destination Club. And I think they are innovating the industry now even more than they innovated it the first time in 2002.
Oh, that's absolutely a fact. It's an interesting fact. And again, our listeners who want to dive into this a lot deeper, you can go to the Exclusive Resorts website. It's a great website, and kind of drill down, and then go over to Inspirato and see what they've accomplished, because those are both excellent websites showcasing their respective products. And it's worthy of mention as a side note, which is what got my attention as somebody that pays attention to what's going on in the boomer space, is that one of the early and maybe one of the most significant investors in Exclusive Resorts was none other than Steve Case. And in case that rings a bell, that he was the founder of AOL, and he started a company called Revolution. And Revolution is kind of a homage to Revolution by the Beatles, frankly, and it was designed to send a message that his company was going to invest in those businesses that could prosper because of the boomer age wave. I don't know if that's a correct statement for sure, because I haven't checked it out, but does that sound roughly accurate to you, Ira?
Well, you've got the same history that I've got, but it's all anecdotal. And Steve Case is still the majority shareholder in Exclusive Resorts.
That's very, very interesting. Well, shifting gears just slightly again, because I want to get back to the marketing, but I did want our listeners to kind of have the benefit of some of the historical perspective on the evolution that became Inspirato. In the Wall Street Journal, one of the general partners at Institutional Venture Partners, Todd Chaffee, said, I quote, "The biggest challenge is penetrating the consumer consciousness and building the brand." And I do believe I'm talking to the man that leads that responsibility, at least as a primary job function. So I'd be interested in knowing a little bit about how you are approaching creating brand awareness and brand personality, if you will, for Inspirato.
Well, Todd's exactly right. I mean, you can you launch a product, and on the day you launch it, really no one knows who you are. And that's why for the first year or so of Inspirato's existence, what we've done is focused on exactly what Todd's talking about, which is creating awareness. So how do you create awareness? Well, you try to find the media that your audience is more than likely interested in reading or seeing or hearing, and you do some advertising. We've done advertising in everything from the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, to Fortune Magazine, to Fast Company, because we believe that disproportionately the people who become interested in our products are largely men. We believe that they have interest in matters financial. We believe and know that they have to be relatively affluent, and the publications that we're in and that I've talked about are ones that have a composition of that audience that we find attractive. So probably the biggest thrust of the first movement of Inspirato's marketing campaign was a broad awareness generation campaign, which has been executed well, and the awareness levels that we're able to monitor among our target demographics are all very, very positive. We appear to be ubiquitous indeed to some people in our target. We'll be in certain in-flight magazines, for example, so that to the people we want to talk to, we do think we've established a very important presence to the point where we've got very real awareness and sort of useful awareness. I think there are companies that can advertise and you create awareness that really doesn't have any attributes attached to it. So we've not only made them aware of our brand, but we've made them aware of our brand proposition. So the answer to your question is that most of what we've done in the early going has related to creating awareness among our target audience.
Well, that you certainly described some media that would achieve that in terms of their reach and the kind of audience. I'm curious, did any of your advertising enter into any of the, I guess you would call it the luxury magazine category, you know, that aren't necessarily financially based or something like that, but the luxury person, the luxury consumer, if you will, the affluent consumer, often take that, like Wine Connoisseur magazine or something like that. Is that, have you been able to look at those media, or maybe it's a little early in the game?
Absolutely. We've been in Wine Spectator.
Okay.
We've also been in a magazine that you may know called Robb Report.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
often
regarded as the highest end magazine of affluent consumption. So, yes, the answer is yes. I only listed a few in the first pass at the question. Yeah.
All right. And I, you know, Robb Report was on my mind, but it's ancient knowledge because I used to buy it for the Broadmoor. And I had that name in mind, but I didn't want to embarrass myself and find out it went out of business a decade ago because I haven't bought that that market for quite a while. But yeah, I was just interested in that that possibility. Now, out of curiosity, the Uber print magazine in our country and probably worldwide, and I'm curious, it's also a jaw-dropping cost for a print ad, but I'm just curious if you've looked at AARP, the magazine, and maybe you could comment about that, because obviously that reaches the 50-plus market with 38 million subscribers. It doesn't segment it quite as well as you've described.
Yeah, we absolutely look at AARP, and I think they have two publications, the Bulletin and the Journal,
right,
I believe they're called.
Uh-huh.
And we constantly evaluate it. We're not in it yet. We can't make the case for it quite yet. But there's no question that there are ample numbers of the people we want to talk to in it. But as you know, from a media buying perspective,
right,
not just looking at absolute numbers, but you're looking at composition and the efficiency of reaching them and then evaluating against other vehicles that can also reach them. And then you're also evaluating environment. And for a message of our kind, obviously where our message is placed is as important as what it is and what it's saying. And relative to, for example, placing one of our ads in Rob Report versus placing it in the bulletin, the AARP, it's kind of a different sensibility. So I think we'll continue to think about that one.
Yeah, just curious, because it also, because of its size of circulation, is quite expensive, but it's one that AARP comes in and out of my daily consciousness almost because of the size of the organization and its growth. And certainly the idea that the boomer generation is, virtually the entire generation is past the age of 50 at this point, all but, I believe, 2 years of the generation. So a compelling case. But anyway, with respect to non-online media, are there any other media channels that you've explored beyond print media? Certainly, I can see the case being made for the quality of print media that you've described.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a full multimedia mix, including a tremendous amount of energy that we put into our digital campaigns. So everything from the ordinary and expected paid search type campaigns to carefully thought out display campaigns and retargeting campaigns in which we feel like our digital presence is as ubiquitous as our print presence. And ultimately, really, the ambition of all of our advertising and communications is to get people to visit our website, because it's overambitious to expect that anyone's going to pick up a phone and call us to talk about this product. People of this demographic, and for a product that needs to be as highly researched as a product such as ours, the best outcome that you're going to get with respect to an action someone may take after being made aware of the product is a visit to the website. So what we do is we create kind of an awareness and action funnel in which at the top is becoming aware of our brand, whether by seeing a print ad or by seeing a display ad on the web, and ultimately at the bottom, engaging with us at our website.
Okay. Now, you mentioned one thing, and that is retargeting, which I'm slightly familiar with because I've been the recipient of your retargeting, as I mentioned to you. Could you describe that marketing methodology, online marketing methodology? Some people obviously will not have heard of it, and I think it's a very interesting capability that our digital lives present us.
Yeah, indeed. Retargeting is not very new, but consumer consciousness of it is. And you're right, when I talk to friends, the one thing they become most intrigued about is retargeting, because they'll say, God, I can't get away from your ads. I keep seeing your ads, Ira. And the reason is because they will have visited our website once. And when you visit our website, we identify you with a thing called a cookie. And then as you travel around the web and you go to sites that are part of ad networks that we've purchased, they say, oh, that's Brent. Brent is part of the Inspirato retargeting campaign. And instead of displaying an ad for one of thousands of other advertisers, they dynamically present an ad for Inspirato. So the result is the appearance of ubiquitousness, but only to the select few people who have actually engaged with us by visiting our website.
It's an incredible capability, and I've seen it in action because I, of course, have visited the Inspirato website as part of my preparation for our discussion today. And then everywhere I've been surfing since then, I've seen these very well-designed, stylized banner ads that are for Inspirato. In fact, I was on a homepage today, earlier, no relationship to this program at all, and there were three Inspirato banner ads on the home page, one at the top, one on the right side, and one at the bottom. So I got retargeted. So,
well, there's obviously in marketing, there's a natural limit and point of diminished returns in doing this sort of behavior. So you let me know if this doesn't turn down after a while, because it'll mean the program's not working the way it's supposed to. We can't keep doing this for the rest of your natural life.
Well, actually, I don't mind it at all, frankly, because they're very aesthetically appealing ads. And you're right, I don't want to see an ad for a chainsaw. I'm not in the market for a chainsaw. So I think I'd rather see banner ads that are relevant to me content-wise. So let's take our final break and continue our discussion with Ira Barr, CMO for Inspirato. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about marketing communications, and a little bit about what he has learned with his phenomenal career in the field of marketing that is helping guide his thinking today at Inspirato.
You're listening to the FMG Radio Network, where our motto is have fun, make money, do good. We provide platforms to individuals who have a cause, message, or information that they would like to share with the world. If you'd like to join the FMG family and have your own radio show, please call us at 1-800-470-4982. That's 1-800-470-4982. We look forward to hearing from you.
Obviously, as a startup, Inspirato has done quite well in terms of, first of all, launching the organization, and secondly, attracting the right kind of investment partners and creating somewhat of a cash war chest to do the job of disseminating the brand nationally and perhaps internationally. I don't think we've talked about any international emphasis in the marketing. But even so, I'm sure based on coming from Dish Network and Sirius and so forth, the startup budget might be a little more parsimonious than your previous client companies that you work for or your clients at BBDO. So what areas do you really feel you must concentrate on to get the biggest bang for your buck?
Well, I think that the place where, as a company, we devote the most resources is in serving our members. You know, I think it was the 19th century when someone first said, you know, build a better mousetrap, world will be a path to your door, et cetera. And it really wasn't true at the time that that was first said, meaning that there was really no way for people to get the message that there was a great product sitting somewhere. And if any, the best you could hope for was maybe a small village or maybe people in your community or a few square blocks around where you live might hear about whatever product had been invented, whatever better mousetrap had been invented. And today, with the advent of social media, which is really new historically, right, say over the course of the last 10 years, the ability for a product to grow to vast proportion without any paid advertising, for example, is almost unlimited. So Instagram is a recent example of that, right? I think they had 30 million users of that product in a really, really short period of time. So for us, the main thing that we have to do as a company is to make the product great, make the product satisfying, and create a dynamic where our members are talking about our product and have that amplified by social media. And I mentioned before that the biggest channel for new members of our club is from existing members. So that means not just making the product better, but giving our existing members tools to refer other members. So we have a very sophisticated means of allowing our members and facilitating our members to refer other members. We have rewards and systems and incentives and prizes, and we've added some fun sort of gamification to it where there are things that people can achieve over time. So I would say if you asked me to sort of rank all of the things that we do that drive membership, I would say number one is creating a better product. When you create a better product, people are more likely to want it. And number two is creating systems and mechanisms whereby our existing members, having been really satisfied by the product, are more apt to talk about it and recommend it to others.
Okay. You mentioned social network, and I'm glad you did because we really didn't talk about that. I assume that you employ some of the basic tools out there, such as YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, perhaps, I don't know. But is that part of your, I guess, your deck of cards for marketing?
Yeah, we want to be in the conversation about travel, about luxury travel. People go to great places and they want to talk about it, and they want to talk about what's good and what they like, what they don't like, what they want to avoid. We want Inspirato to be in that conversation. If you go to inspiratoblogs.com, you'll just see a tremendous amount of conversation about all the destinations that we have residences in. You'll see conversations about travel in general. You'll see a very robust Twitter feed from Inspirato. On Facebook, we're very active, both with contests, information, photographs from our members. So absolutely, we believe that employing social media to amplify the Inspirato message is critical to getting into the conversation, into the mindset of luxury travelers around the world.
Yes, I can certainly understand that. I am curious, too, because I have recommended this as a strategy, particularly several years ago when I spoke at the Educational Travel Conference, is for tour operators, who I was talking to in this context, is to do everything possible to facilitate the social networking, not just between the company and the travelers, but also between the travelers among themselves, because, you know, the old marketing saw of birds of a feather flock together. Do you try to facilitate that, where the members are, you know, in effect creating bonds among themselves and creating new friendships and new alliances, if you will, and things like that? Is that something you're part of facilitating and perpetuating?
Well, we try to, but what you're describing, of course, is the holy grail of all social media, where you're getting people who are active advocates of your product, and they do so in their large, robust, and highly engaged networks. So I think that when everything you do from a product perspective, from a media perspective, from a social media facilitation perspective works, you get that outcome where you have someone who is shouting at the top of their lungs about how terrific this product is, and they're doing so to large and highly engaged networks of people. So I can't say that we've been as successful at that as we ultimately will be, but there's no question that what you describe has to be the pinnacle achievement of all social media efforts.
The idea and the ideal being that beyond just talking within my own reference network, that I am creating lifelong friendships of like-minded people who I happen to meet somewhere along my journey in the, call it the Inspirato family. That seems like it would be richly rewarding. Not only to have a fantastic vacation experience in an Inspirato home in a fantastic destination, but suddenly to start getting to know people that I might not have otherwise met that think like me, feel like me, and maybe we'll have a friendship start. So you're seeing a bit of that happening too then.
Yeah, what we're starting to see is, and to me this is a great test, you know, you can go on vacation somewhere, you go to an island in the Caribbean like Anguilla, and you can post something at Facebook on Facebook that says, we went to Anguilla. And what we're finding is our members are saying that they went to the Inspirato residence on Anguilla, and it was a key part of the experience. So the point is that when you see yourself get elevated in the personal conversations that people are having with their networks, you know you've achieved something, and achieving it to greater magnitude is obviously what every marketer desires.
Absolutely. So I asked you kind of what the, I guess you could say, somewhat the limitations imposed by being a startup and possibly not having the mega budgets that you've worked with, I'm sure, throughout the course of your career. Let me ask the question differently. If you had an unlimited marketing budget, within reason, of course, what media and marketing strategies would you possibly undertake that you might not be able to undertake until things get a little bigger?
There's really nothing that I think we ought to be responsibly doing that we're not doing. So at Inspirato, our marketing budget is defined by the task. And for companies that have much larger target markets, whether it be satellite radio or satellite television, obviously there's a requirement to reach a larger number of potential prospects. For Inspirato, we have a highly defined target audience. It's probably, you know, a single-digit percentage number of the number of American households who are affluent enough to be able to consider our product. So when you say, you know, what would you do with an unlimited marketing budget? Not sure. We're really operating very efficiently right now, and you know the worst thing you can do is overspend marketing at a point where returns are diminished and you can't see the return. So today, you know, you always want to get more efficient, but I think we're in a place where we're pretty satisfied that what we're doing makes a lot of sense and where we can rationalize the return.
Okay, well, that's a great answer. Well, you have extensive background in marketing, Ira, and certainly impressive. And I'm just going to ask you a couple quick questions here. You've learned lessons along the way, as we all do, as marketers and as professionals. What did you learn during your stint at perhaps BBDO on the agency side that what bring you value today in your role as a CMO for Inspirato?
You can never stifle creativity, and it's, you know, it's oft said but seldom practiced. And the worst thing that happens, and whether you're in a marketing services company or whether you're in an advertising company or a commercial advertiser, is when employees feel like their ideas don't get the merit or the attention that they deserve. At the organizations that I've led, it has been by far my most important objective to assure that if there is creativity in the organization, and that's my responsibility in terms of bringing people on who have that innate inventiveness, that those ideas are really given life whenever possible. As part of the recent Denver Post accolade we got in terms of being one of the best places to work in Colorado, they also said we were actually number one in terms of listening to ideas of employees. And that's part of the reason I came here, is that it's absolutely ingrained in the culture. So I think that if you ask the question, what do I think is the most important ingredient in being able to deliver effective marketing, it's that you need to assure that there's not a lot of dogma from management in being assured that one particular approach is right. And as I say, everyone preaches this, but very few do it. But I like to think that in the organizations that I've been involved with, that the employees, the people who are all contributing to the effort, all feel like if they've really got something of merit, that it's going to get listened to, it's going to get considered, and there's an excellent chance that if it can survive on the merits, that it'll get executed.
Excellent, excellent. And that definitely, you know, it's very much on my mind. I mentioned it earlier, but that reflects some of the lessons I took away in reading Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. I just think that is a phenomenal book. I didn't expect it to be that way, because I'm not really a biography kind of guy. I don't really seek out that kind of reading, but I wanted to read an Isaacson book, and I learned that that's part of the culture that Jobs inculcated, certainly after he returned to Apple Computer, after he learned some of the lessons he needed to learn to be able to be a CEO of a company and grow it to being the most valuable company on the planet. So were there any other parts of your journey to Inspirato, such as at Sirius or at Dish Network, that golden lessons that you brought with you that have helped you organize this quickly and make it happen as well as you have?
Well, I think that marketers need to focus more than ever on product. I think there was a day, and this again relates to the presence or absence of social media, in which you could persuade someone through mass advertising to buy a product. And there's a continuum where you take a message that occurs in advertising, say you see an ad on TV, other end of the continuum, a good friend of yours told you to buy something. And the relative difference in the persuasiveness of each of those is enormous. Well, it used to be that because there were no social media, it was really challenging to get product reviews and third-party opinions about things, and that if someone told you something in an advertising message, or if a spokesperson in 1950 went on some sort of variety show and held up a bottle of Excedrin and told you to use it, you might find that message persuasive. But I think that over time, the marketing itself has to be more and more focused on just creating awareness, and you find that the persuasiveness of advertising is actually waning, because particularly for considered products that cost a lot of money, people are going to do a tremendous amount of research, and in this environment, they have what really is perfect information, and they can gather information from multiple sources and get a perfect read on how your product is going to perform and how the product has been reviewed by others. As a result, we've got a great environment for consumers, but an ever greater challenge for people who market products, because the quality of those products has to be higher than it has ever been, because even one defect or flaw in that product is widely amplified by the social media. So in answer to your question, I would say that I think that the marketing insight is that the marketing has to be a little less important today. I think there was a time where there was a psychology among marketers that effective marketing could overcome the barrier of a mediocre product. Not a bad product, but a mediocre product. And I think that day is well past. And I think that marketers do a great job when they're able to really understand what the consumer requirement is, and they're able to take that information and distill it into a form in which product evolution can be consistent with what the market requires.
That's outstanding advice. I think that is an incredible way to answer that question, Ira. So I could spend much more time talking with you, obviously, but I need to bring the show to a close. I just want to thank you, Ira, for joining us today and sharing your many insights about Inspirato, and particularly giving us a sense of your work to launch and expand consumer awareness of this new but exciting and fun-to-watch brand.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for the kind words and for the time, Brent. Very much enjoyed it.
Well, again, thanks. And we, as a marketer, I'm going to enjoy watching the show, and I know that many of my listeners will too. So to the listener, if you want to find out more, as I mentioned earlier, you can go to the Inspirato website, and that is, of course, www.inspirato.com, just like it's pronounced, fortunately. And I want to thank you for joining this show. You can post your comments and questions on my Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/generationreinvention, one word. Or you can follow me and send direct messages on Twitter, and I Twitter at Boomer Marketing. And then, of course, my blog, which is going to begin its seventh year next month, presents a continuing conversation about the Boomer future, and that's available at boomers.typepad.com. So tell your friends, colleagues, and clients about a worldwide or Boomer revolution discussed here weekly, and we call it Generation Reinvention.
You've been listening to Generation Reinvention with your host, Brent Green. Visit Brent at his website at generationreinvention.com. And for archive shows, be sure to visit his show page here on the FMG Radio Network, where our motto is, have fun, make money.